Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2014. And once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Lots of things to be talking about today. And let's get started right away. Let's go ahead and bring up the markets. Class, where's the market prices for gold today? Gold is down $13.50 at $1,256.50. You have silver down 27 at $1,974. Platinum was down 18 at $1,414. And palladium down 12 at $726. The USDX today was trading basically unchanged at 80.49, down 0.0 or up 0.02. As other emerging market currencies are basically getting hammered and trying to tie themselves to the U.S. dollar, and that is really kind of funny, but I guess it is a little bit better than theirs. Or are they tying themselves to the euro? And again, that's why we're seeing a little bit of strength in the euro. But the crude oil today was down 84 at 95.80. And paper markets today, the Dow was up earlier in the day, but couldn't hold it. You have the Dow down 41 points at 15,837. The NASDAQ was down 44 at 4083. And the S&P was down 8 at $1,781. The 10-year yield today was trading at 2.77, up 0.03. And with that, I'd like to say good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. Interesting day. And
yeah,
we'll see. And tomorrow's going to be interesting also. And the reason is that, for me at least, people have alleged the 1255 was a technical resistance level for gold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, we've busted through last Friday, and here we are now. We're back down to about 1255. Lost 1350 today. It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. We'll want to see whether the forces, the powers that be, will they push gold down below the 1255 line, maybe knock down another $10 or so? Who knows? Is that what's going to happen? Or will gold rise tomorrow and essentially bounce off that technical resistance line and go up rather than back down through it? What do you think is going to happen, Melody, up or down?
Well, I think it's going to, I don't think it's going to go down a lot, but I think you're going to see a little bit of pressure on it. Well, whether it remains there or not, we'll have to see. But the FOMC is supposed to, they're supposed to be talking about tapering this week.
Yep. Yep, yep.
So, you know, if they talk about taper, you might get some sort of a knee-jerk reaction. Actually, if they talk about taper, gold really should go up, not down. Mm-hmm. But financial markets, you know, remains to be seen what they will do. So, I mean, it, well, anytime you have rigged markets like this, you know, what should happen won't happen. And it's difficult to gauge what will happen on a day-to-day basis. But
I have no doubt that they want to push gold down.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I don't have any doubt about that.
Taper talk will do it.
Maybe. No, I don't think taper talk will. I
taper
think the whole taper, the relationship between taper and gold, like you say, has been largely irrational.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make good sense. It's just a pretext. They say, oh, they might just as well say that, you know, Mercury is in retrograde or some damn thing. It's just an excuse for what they're doing. You know, they're doing it. They don't, and they're just coming up with a reason. They're doing it because they want to try to support the paper dollar. They don't want gold to rise dramatically. But the question is whether they still have enough power to push it down. Huh? The reason, they just want it down. They want it down in order to support the dollar, but they're not going to say that. They're going to say, oh, it's because of tapering. See? Oh, that's a bunch of crap.
It is, but I'll tell you what, it's all orchestrated. It's all timed. And whatever they need to do, remember, we've had those five big trades that had happened since April, or six big trades since April. And each time you had those big trades, you know, they really whacked it down. Now, we don't know who it is. For all sake purposes, it could be China. But once they started the taper talk, that's when we've had the big hits to gold. So, and you're right. You're absolutely right. But
just pretext. It's not reality.
No,
it isn't.
Yes.
It's like saying the light turned red down at the intersection of 45 and 72.
Yeah, they don't
so
have
what?
Any other.
It's got nothing to do with it.
They don't have any other excuses to use. What are they going to say? Right. I mean, it's impossible for them to come up for a good reason why gold is going down. So they blame the taper talk.
You know, we've got an article, we'll get to it later today, pointing out that there are mints in the world that are now working 24/7. Well, I won't say they're working 24/7 at least 5 days a week. They're working three shifts trying to crank out enough gold coins to meet the global demand for gold coins.
Except for the U.S. citizens who are
deaf, dumb,
and blind.
No, but the demand coming out of the U.S. Mint is also at or near record-breaking levels.
Well.
All right? The demand is there, and yet enormous demand globally here in the United States, and yet price is maybe going to go down. It does not. It defies logic if you're operating in a true free market. If you've got a free market, the demand goes up, the price has to go up. That's what should be happening. It's not happening. What it tells us? It tells us we don't have a free market. We have a manipulated market. We have people that are using their power and influence to cause prices to move in a way that does not reflect true value, doesn't reflect the free market, but it does serve their special interests. The question is, how long can they continue? And the reason that's a question is because we've seen reports that COMEX lost, they paid out 85% of the gold they had in their vaults in the last 9 months. Huh? They are down to where they may only have enough gold to last for another month or two. Now, I can't say that they won't replenish their stock, but they might be able to get 3 months out of it. But the evidence suggests that they're about out of gold. And there's other evidence to indicate, for example, Germany could only squeeze 5 tons of gold. Germany deposited 1,500 tons of gold with the Federal Reserve back about 50 years ago, and they want it back, and the Federal Reserve managed to give them a whole 5 tons. That translates into something like 0.3% of what's owed in 1 year. They gave them in 2013. They gave them 5 tons. The implications of all of this problem with Germany suggests that the Federal Reserve and maybe the United States Treasury is out of physical gold. It may be that they've been backing the Wall Street banks and giving them physical gold, and the Wall Street banks pushed the price down by using paper, by shorting the gold. They pushed the price down, and then somebody says, okay, I don't want a check, give me the gold. Well, they get the gold from the United States Treasury and or the Federal Reserve, and they pay off and appear, they make the appearance that gold is really only worth $12.55 an ounce. They create that appearance, but they can't maintain that illusion if they run out of physical gold. And it looks likely that they are on the brink of that happening. Nobody can say, I certainly can't say that that's the truth of the matter, but there's plenty of evidence to suggest it may be. There is a high probability. It's not just a chance in 10. It looks more like, who knows, 50-50 proposition, maybe 70-30 proposition in favor of they're about out of gold. Once they run out of physical gold, they can't continue to manipulate the price. And at that point in time, then we're going to see what gold's going to do. Then we're going to find out what the real value of gold is. And my guess is, you know, we say it on a regular basis, but those people who are holding gold in their hand at the time when this thing breaks loose are going to be very happy campers. He sits back and says, boy, is this cool. That was the smartest thing I ever did when I got some gold. I sure am a smart one because I have some gold. We'll see. I can't give you prophecy, but we can give you probabilities.
Well, here's an interesting, well, it's not an interesting poll. It's just something I'm going to bring to your attention. Well, I know it's going to get you fired up. On the eve of Obama's State of the Union, there's a new poll out of the Washington Post and ABC News that shows that fully 63% of Americans have either little to no confidence he's going to make the right decisions, and the public is evenly split on whether Obama is honest and trustworthy. With 49% of Americans answering in the affirmative and 48% answering negatively. And I mean, it's just like...
And 2 or 3% saying, Obama... Who's Obama?
It's Obama.
Who's this guy Obama that you're talking about?
52% feel he does not understand the problems of people like them. And, of course, that is supposedly a shocking downward turn. 51% also believe he is not a strong leader. His disapproval rating stands currently at 50%. But, of course, this is a Washington Post, ABC News. I think it's a...
Yeah, no,
a little bit lower than
legitimacy.
Although it does say 41% disproving strongly. So, you know, only 23% support him strongly. So it, actually, to me, his rating
10% are ready to riot.
Yeah,
no, I'm exaggerating, but
so
a lot of things are coming to a head.
Yeah.
Well, I won't say they're coming to a head, but there are a lot of things that are coming to a coincidence. All right, bro. A lot of interesting things are happening. This month of February is going to be interesting, and certainly the first quarter. February and March, I don't know what's going to happen, but there's a good chance that we are going to see some dramatic changes that will lay the foundation for whatever is going to transpire for much of the rest of the year. Can't tell you it's going to happen, but it just seems like we are on that edge. We're right there. And so we'll watch and see.
Did you watch the Gammies last night?
No.
I didn't either, but a couple of the headlines that I've seen is, you had some very risque performances. You had, a college football star, also a Christian singer, who walked out saying that there was a satanic performances.
Yeah.
The one called the Grammys demonic. And I guess they even had, gay marriages performed during during her performance. They had a lot of strange things going on at the Grammys. And, you know, it's funny when I think of the Grammys, and I looked at some, I always like to look at the dresses. And I didn't even know half of the people. I mean, there weren't any old-time singers on there. Yeah. I mean, it was just like people who have just come out, like, in the past couple of years. And it's like, who are these people? There weren't
any.
I'm
asking the same thing about you and me. These people are sitting there, who are these old people? You know, I mean, it's just part of life. It's just a natural part of life. But what it reflects is who's buying the records.
Yeah.
All right. Folks like you and I aren't buying the records. We're not buying the videos, the CDs, whatever they're selling. And as a result, we don't get a lot of representation. And our the kind of music we might prefer, doesn't matter. It's all about marketing, business, and you know, more money. So, and it's also, you know, the music industry is in a lot of trouble. And I'm sure, I'm assuming you're aware of this, but when people began to use some of those peer-to-peer programs where they could download music for free, they can get copies of songs and movies and whatever. And it's not a new situation. It's been going on for several years. But what it's done, if you're halfway astute, you don't need to go to town to buy yourself a new album from your favorite singer. You don't need to go to town to get yourself a new video. You can get them for free on the internet, and it has cut deeply into the profits that had formerly been there for, you know, musicians, the big musicians. And they're screaming about it. They're hot. They don't know what to do. But my point is this. In the midst of declining sales, they have to be extraordinarily competitive. And it may be that once upon a time you could hold the people's attention by just singing a good song and providing good music. But right now, you got to hold their attention by perhaps stripping, all right, and engaging in something that's outrageous and even satanic in order to try to sell a couple extra records in an extraordinary era of hyper-competition. I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What you got for folks, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners that we have some very competitive pricing. We can pretty much match or beat all the online sellers of gold and silver. They really don't bring much to the buyer. Plus, you have the the world knows of your purchases when you buy online. So just give us a call, folks, at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, of course, we have great shipping, and our service is very, very good. We believe in building relationships with our clients. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, DGS for discount gold, silvercoins.com. And we do have a call-in line. If you folks, 1-800-596-8191. If you'd like to call in and have a question for myself and Al, 1-800-596-8191. Give us a call. And right now we do have a caller online. I believe it's Joe from Arkansas.
Hello, Joe.
Yes, hello. Yeah,
hi.
Hello, Joe. And I'd like to ask you guys. Hello?
Go ahead.
I'd like to ask you guys. Okay. I'm going ahead. And that's this. I recently, on a local radio show, I heard a guy who's written a book called the Demographic Cliff. And I believe his name was Harry Dent. And they say that he's an economic expert, and they claim that he's done quite a bit of successful forecasting of what's going to happen in economics. So apparently they considered him a good expert. And anyway, what he said, basically, the essence of his argument, as I understand it, was that the baby boomer generation, being very, very large, has been generating a lot of economic activity, and but that the baby boomer generation is, now in the process of starting to retire, soon going to be retiring more and more and more and more and more and generating less and less consumer spending, less and less economic activity. And that the generations following the baby boomer generations are smaller, and therefore they will be not be spending so much money and generating so much economic activity. Therefore, there will not be the need for the creation of so much fiat money, and therefore the price of gold will go down. And it's an angle I never thought of before, but I want to ask you guys what you thought of that.
Well, I think it's a wonderful argument if it also applies to China and India. And most of the rest of the world, if those populations are also going to decline, then I guess that argument makes some sense. But gold, the real price of gold is going to be set on a global basis before this is all over. We've had a kind of luxury or perhaps a curse that the price of gold has been set largely in London and New York City, and they've allowed, and it's allowed for some manipulation and suppression. And in any case, even if the fundamental argument is correct, it still implies, well, if the argument is correct, when does he think the demographic demand for gold is going to fall in a way that causes the price to drop? He's not talking about later this week. All right, his demographic projection is for several years into the future, and maybe a decade or more, before we see a downward pressure just because maybe we have less people in this country or less buyers, sellers, whatever, less people involved in the economy. Too many people are retired. The other point is that the price of gold is not simply a measure of the price of gold. You know, what's gold worth? It's not what the gold is worth. What's the dollar worth? And I don't care how many people are working or not working, how many people think the dollar is going to be worth more a year from now or 3 years from now or 10 years from now than it is today. Inevitably, if the dollar is going to be inflated, and they've been doing it persistently for the last, you know, 40, 50, 60 years, inflating the dollar, unless that policy is absolutely changed and abandoned, and I don't see how it can be, the dollar is going to be worth less, and inevitably that means the price of gold has to rise. Now, we've got a bump in the road for the last year that defies that logic, but nevertheless, how long can that bump be sustained? Does that make any sense to you, Joe, and does it at all answer your question?
I got a comment on that also.
Go ahead.
Also, Al, it also means if they're pulling money out of the economy, why does the government stop printing money? You still have more and more in Social Security. You're going to have more people in Medicare and Medicaid. You don't have the youth generation of those coming up behind the baby boomers to pay for these programs. So who are going to pay for these programs? The people in this country are getting poorer and poorer.
True.
And these programs are growing and growing. So you can take out, you know, and I agree, the baby boomers are going to put more of a strain on this economy, but that doesn't mean the government is going to stop printing. They're going to have to print more. And once you begin the fiat currency cycle, it cannot be reversed. It continues to grow until it can grow no longer, until you have the collapse. And that's the way it works. He talks about cash being king during the Depression, and we've talked about this numerous times on this program. Cash in the Depression in the 30s was gold.
Up until 1933,
and then
the
you
currency
had
was backed by both gold and silver. And then from 33 all the way up until about between 64 and 68 was the last time you could redeem your currency with silver. But when they say cash is king, during the Depression, people think they're talking about paper. They were talking about paper dollars that were backed by silver, by gold and silver up until 1933, and by silver alone from 33 on throughout the Depression. And the point being, when we say cash is king in the Depression, we are probably talking about gold or silver. That was the real cash. That was the real king. In the event we have another Depression in this country, cash will be king again. And I don't believe it's going to be paper cash because it's not back. People are going to say, oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time gold and silver coin. That'd be a guess. One other point about the demographic argument, Joe. There's only a handful of people that actually buy gold in this country right now. I don't know what the numbers are exactly, but it might be as little as 1%. I doubt if it's more than 3% of the American people actually have gold as an investment. A lot of people have gold rings and gold earrings and gold necklaces and so on. But in terms of having coins, bars, bullion, whatever it is, I'm guessing 1% to 3%. That 1% to 3%, if it just doubles, and it goes to, say, 6% of the American people buy gold, we should see a significant increase in the price of gold. We are more likely to see an increase in the number of people, the percentage of people, who appreciate the value of gold. We're more likely to see that double than we are to see demographics cut demand to any significant degree. You follow what I'm saying, Joe?
Harry Dent wrote a book. Harry Dent wrote a book, and he wrote along with mainstream media. And my big question is, what is the final outcome of the book? What does he want to sell you? What is his agenda, and other than selling the book?
You know, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I don't have an objection.
Well, you have to slant. You have to slant it in order to what you want to sell. And that's where we come across a little. I would love to give good news. I would love to sit here.
We are given good news. I think we've been given good news this last year. People asked me before, they said, how low do you think gold can go? I told them on one occasion, I said, I hope it falls to $1,000 an ounce. Why? Because it means more for me. That's why I can buy more at a low price than the Canada high price. Right? This isn't just, you know, it's not, you got to look, there is a silver lining in our clouds. And sometimes a gold lining in the clouds, too. You know, you got to keep your kid, just look at the cloud. You got to look at the lining and say, wait a second. What do you think, Joe? Is there a gold lining in any of this or a silver lining, or what do you think?
Well, if you play your cards right, I suppose there's always a gold lining or a silver lining. Some people seem to be able to figure out the situation and take advantage of it no matter what. But I think you've made some really good points, you know, some good points to think about. You know, I guess we'll have to wait and see how it all turns out. But I think the growth of the fiat money supply is, you know, and therefore the rise in the price of gold, I think that largely has to do simply with the greed of the bankers to lend out as much money, especially to the government, as they can, you know, so that they push their income from the repayment of the loans, you know, as high as possible. You know, they support the politicians that want to go further and further into debt, you know, trillions of dollars in debt now, because that gives them, because then the government has to tax us so much and the government has to pay so much in debt service that the bankers get a huge income because of that, and that's kind of separate from the population, although they do need quite a big population, I suppose, to tax them enough to keep up the repayments on the debt. And as far as the situation in India and China, yeah, that's something that I don't recall Harry Dent mentioning that, but he might have. You know, I just can't remember everything he said right now. But it seems like the economic growth and therefore the demand for gold in India and China, I would suppose, has been a lot based on the consumer demand for their products that's been generated by the West, especially the United States. And of course, if the baby boomers are retiring and not spending so much money, and the generations after them are smaller and poorer and so on like that, that would generate less demand for products from India and China, and therefore they might not be so prosperous and able to keep the price of gold up so much. You know, that might be some other factors and to enter into the mix. So I guess you can look at it from many, many different angles and try to bring in all the factors, and I guess we'll have to wait and see what really happens.
That's exactly right. You know, I was looking at a series of videos on CNBC this morning. They were just excerpts, probably 2 or 3 minutes, from might be 20 different people who were commenting on the economy and the dollar and a bunch of other things. And you look at these videos and you start looking at them, and they're interesting and they're fascinating on one level. They can even get a little obsessive and compulsive, say, oh, I got to see another one. It is like being in a casino in Las Vegas, where whether or not you're going to win at roulette is tied to the last time you had 3 bars come up on the slot machine, and whether or not Amarillo Slim drew another ace to make a full house and a poker hand and something else going on at the crap table. It is, and they're all claiming that you watch what's happening in India and you watch what's happening in China and what's going on in Venezuela and what's going on in Argentina, and the whole thing is so complex, no one can understand it. All right? There's the truth of the matter. This whole web has become, you know, oh, what a web we weave when first we practice to deceive. The great deception is that you can take fiat dollars, paper dollars, digital dollars that are debt instruments, and that's what they are. That's not, you know, crazy rhetoric or bizarre opinion. They are debt instruments, and treat them as assets. It is an enormous deception, and in order to hold it together, we've got no end to the web. And from my perspective, the sensible thing is look back, identify the deception if you can. Look at that deception and say, look, if the fundamental problem is a fiat currency and convincing people that debt instruments are a measure of wealth, huh? If that's the fundamental problem, then what do you want to do? I don't know how long the system is going to hold together. I don't know whether it's going to collapse utterly or collapse a little bit or what's going to happen. But inevitably, in my opinion, the truth has to come out, and the day has to come where, as crazy as it seems, people are going to appreciate that their fiat dollars, their digital and paper dollars, have little or no value. And when they do, they are going to want gold and silver. They may want other things as well, but they're going to want gold and silver. And I'm just sitting back and saying, let's beat the rush. They're going. I know what they're going to do. They're going to want gold. They're going to scream for it, but I don't know when. Are they going to do it this year, next year, year after that? I don't know. I know what the end of the line is. I don't know how soon we get to the end of the line, but I'm trying to avoid being beguiled by everyone up there who's telling you that something's happening in 50 Japan, Venezuela, Argentina, you know, Mexico. Oh my God, there's no way you can put all those pieces together. You got to just do something that's sensible and right for you. Protect yourself as best you can. You know, try to get right with a good Lord. More important than anything else, because we just live in a bizarre and dangerous and in some regards unprecedented time. Do the best you can. What are you going to do, Joe?
I'm going to keep working as long as I can. I'm going to keep my health as good as I can, as long as I can, and keep on working for a living. That's what I
understand. I understand. You saving?
If I can afford to buy a little silver every now and then, you know, I don't make much money. If I can afford to buy a little silver every now and then, you know, I'll do it, and I'll hope it goes up in value.
I understand. I think the most important thing you can do right now may be to save. All right? It's not about investing. When you talk about speculators, when you talk about investors, we are talking about people who are ultimately gambling. They have a little money. The speculators want to get rich quick. The investors are willing to get rich on a little longer frame. But the truth of the matter is, anytime you have wealth, there's risk involved because people want to take it from you. But the least risk, not no risk, but the least risk may be savings. Particularly, now most people say you can't save anymore because the government is taking the value of the dollar away by means of inflation. You're crazy to save. But you're not crazy to save in terms of gold or silver. And from my perspective, it's one of the most intelligent things you can do at this time. Save as much of your income as possible and try to store it in a form that will be protected against confiscation by government or inflation. Gold and silver, for me, is the best solution. We're going to take a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We got a caller, Jim, from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon, Melody and Alfred.
Hello, Jim. What you got for us?
Well, two things on my mind. I wanted to tell a quick story about I was in a barbershop the other day, and the guy was charging $10. And I said, well, that's an awfully good deal since around town most people are charging $13. But I said, it's still a real good deal considering that you're really only charging about 50 cents considering the price of silver is $20. If you'd of course, I remember as a child paying a quarter for a haircut, but 50 cents would be a pretty good deal because in, say, 1965, a haircut would have cost 50 cents. Silver's gone up 10 times since then, so you're still really only paying 50 cents for a haircut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Basically. I agree. And
yep.
We point that out to people once in a while. We talk about it. People think prices are up, not
often.
In terms of silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention right quickly, I talked to Melody about it, and I think she mentioned it to you about trying to get John Ainsworth on your show, and I hope that you we'll get in touch with him and try to set that up because North Carolina American Republic. I also want to mention that our monthly meeting here in North Carolina for anybody who lives anywhere in North Carolina is this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Golden Corral in Mooresville. People that in North Carolina particularly, but anybody's welcome, that has thinking that maybe something's going astray with government needs to come and see what we've been doing since 1997. And, Alfred, I think that John would be a great guest for you because you're always talking about the 14th Amendment this and 14th Amendment that. You got off on it big time one day last week. And that's part of our issue here and why we did what we did back in 1997. So I hope that you will get him on soon. He's a guy who's very intelligent.
All right, well,
we are working on it.
All right, well, we will look forward to contacting Mr. Ainsworth in the future. Thank you for your call, Jim.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Mm-hmm, sure thing. All right. All right, Melody, what's next?
Bitcoin.
All right, talk about Bitcoins. What do we got on Bitcoins? Let me see. There it is. Tiger Direct. Article in the newspaper, Tiger Direct now accepting Bitcoin. That was the headline. Today, Tiger Direct, one of the big distributing outfits, internet distributing outfits, I don't even know who they are.
I never heard
but
of
they
them.
Made the announcement that they are now accepting Bitcoin as payment. Tiger Direct is the latest in a host of companies who have recently flocked to the burgeoning Bitcoin economy. In recent weeks, Overstock.com, Fancy.com, and even the first casinos in Las Vegas have begun accepting the newest form of money that is sweeping the world by storm. Now, this article reads more like a PR piece for Bitcoins than news. But nevertheless, we're going to continue because we think or at least I think we've got a point to make here. And rumors are floating about Facebook and Google are both testing their systems for Bitcoin. We don't know yet if these rumors are true. 2014 is already heralded as the year of Bitcoin, and we're not even through January yet. Well, Bitcoins have certainly, they've become a phenomenon, certainly a fad, maybe a phenomenon. We'll watch and see. But what are the big attractions in Bitcoins? And the first attraction, one of the two attractions that I'm able to see, is that Bitcoins are increasing in value. Understand? Thus, they are not at all like paper dollars and digital dollars, which are constantly decreasing in value due to inflation. Would you rather have a fistful of bitcoins that you paid, who knows, I don't know what the current price is on bitcoins, but let's suppose you paid $500 for them today. Would you rather have $10,000 worth of bitcoins, knowing that there is a good chance they're going to be worth $1,000 each in the foreseeable future? Or would you rather have $10,000 worth of $100 bills that are going to probably only be worth $90 in purchasing power within the next several years? It's one of the reasons people like bitcoins is because they appreciate in value. The dollar decreases in value. From that perspective, bitcoin is attractive. The other point is they offer the possibility of anonymous sales, much the same as cash, but not like credit and debit cards. You go into a credit, you go into a store, pay with a credit card, pay with a debit card. There's going to be an electronic record of the sale. Whatever it is you got, whatever you bought, somebody's going to know about that. Now, that may not be important, and it might not be cause for concern. But on the other hand, there are times in life when you'd like to buy something and not think that Big Brother in Washington, D.C. and the NSA was looking over your shoulder to see what it was that you purchased. Bitcoins are in large measure a rejection of paper fiat dollars and also credit and debit cards. As such, bitcoins are a little like the canary in the tunnel that can give us some evidence to the degree of public rejection of fiat dollars and perhaps even some faint clues as to how much longer fiat dollars can survive. I've known for over 20 years. I've written about money over the years. I even published a little book on it back about 2000, thereabouts. But I understood from early, about 1992, 93, if you mess with the money system, the government's going to jump on you with both feet. All right? They don't care if you go shoot public officials. They'll posture about it. They don't really care. They can put in a new president, a new vice president, a new congressman, senators, federal judges. They can screw them in and out like light bulbs. All right? They're not too concerned, really, about protecting the upper echelons of government. They do it, but it's no big deal. But you mess with the money system, and they are going to come after you and come after you hard. You are going to rue the day that you threatened the monetary system. That was an observation that seemed absolutely true to me back in the early 90s. I've never seen anything to dissuade me from that perception. Now, Bitcoin started out as something of a novelty and was probably ignored or dismissed by government as something that would never catch on. There aren't even enough Bitcoins issued to threaten fiat dollars mathematically. But with each new company and casino agreeing to accept them, bitcoins have become a real ideological threat to the fiat dollar. If somebody who has a lot more expertise in computers than I'll ever have put the Bitcoin concept together, we don't even know who that guy is for sure. Nobody really knows, or virtually no one knows, who really put this together. And if one man can do it, in theory, so could I, so could Melody, so could any of you in the audience. Bitcoin has laid a map on how to create a private currency that's not issued by the government. And in many instances, can't even be tracked by the government.
Well, I disagree with that.
Well, we'll watch and see. But in
it's on the online, if it's on the internet, it can be traced.
But in terms of individuals, they may be able to track the coins. I get that. There is no secrecy. But still what I'm trying to get to is this. It's not like buying with credit cards. It's not like buying with debit cards.
It takes them an hour instead of 10 minutes.
At least a level of security or an anonymity associated with Bitcoin that you can't assume with most other forms of cash. Now, that is, from my perspective, a terrible threat to the central banks of the world. The whole fiat monetary system is based on the idea that only a handful of banks can issue the currency. But here we have Bitcoin showing us how to issue our own currency and maybe profit from it dramatically. So I'm going to bet that there are people at the Federal Reserve and other central banks of the world that are thinking very seriously about how they might be able to either eliminate or take control of bitcoins. Bitcoin is showing the world how to create that private monetary system, and I'm straining to see how the fiat monetary system can tolerate bitcoins. Unless the central banks can take control of bitcoins, roll for their own variety of the same sort of digital currency, or even shut down the internet so Bitcoin transactions can't easily take place. I don't see how the central banks can stop or survive the Bitcoin threat. I think this is going to be a big issue before this is all over. And we'll watch and see. We'll find out. We'll know more in the future. But
we got a caller.
All right, let's take it.
I just want to say one thing about Bitcoin. Since we don't know who it is, and I agree with you, I think Bitcoin is it is something. We know J.P. Morgan put in a patent for it, but since we don't know who is really behind Bitcoin, did you ever wonder that it isn't by a government, by a bank, and it's just been created in order so they can make more and more money, and they're going to come in and they're going to end up shutting it down anyway. You already have U.S. government agents arresting some of these an exchange today, closing down the site because they're money laundering and so forth. And they'll blame everything on money laundering. But on the other hand, I'm sorry, I think in order for it to even get this far, and to get this much attention, and to go from the extremes that it has, I wouldn't. I can only imagine who is behind it. It could be Soros. I mean, it could be any of those guys. They're not dumb.
Yeah, it could be. But
and
who was behind the internet?
It isn't just some. It just
who
isn't
was
some
behind the
hacker.
Internet? I get that. I don't know who's responsible. I guarantee it wasn't me. But it's not relevant who was behind this, in the same sense that it's not relevant who was behind the internet. The federal government and the Department of Defense and the big contractors making weapons and rest of that, they created the internet.
Yes.
And they thought, but they never imagined that Joe Sixpack would get on it. They thought it was just for government. And it turns out we got on it. All right?
And we're
because
on your, yeah.
Well, my point is the same thing can happen with Bitcoin. Right now, I would bet you that if the government had its choice between eliminating the right to keep and bear arms and eliminating the internet, if either one was possible, if both were possible, but they could only pick one, I bet they'd close down the internet. If there was a way of doing it because it's done so much.
You can't close down the internet anymore because it controls.
No, I know you can't. I'm saying if it was possible.
It's financial. Let's go to.
Well, I get that, but I'm just saying that no matter who starts it,
money.
No matter who starts it, it can still have extraordinary effects that may not have been anticipated by whoever put it together. So let's take a call from Paul in Washington and see what Paul has to say. What do you got, Paul?
Hey, Alfred. I know a guy that made a couple thousand dollars off of bitcoins. So, and then, I have a question for you. Are you better off buying gold or silver if you have the funds to do either one? Because I know silver has because you can buy more silver, and you can have a more potential of profit versus the gold. But what's your thought on that?
I know a lot of people believe that silver is going to appreciate more dramatically than gold. If gold were to go up 100%, silver might go up 150%. Some who knows what percentage, but they think if silver will appreciate more rapidly than gold because historically the ratio between silver and gold was something like 16 ounces of silver, 20 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold, and you use that to work on prices, and it appears that you'll make more money on silver than you will on gold. And that may be true. But you'll also be carrying a larger amount of weight around with you for however much money you want to invest. You sometimes the convenience alone of gold, would you rather haul 1 ounce of gold around in your pocket, or would you rather haul 20, 30, 50 ounces of silver in your pocket? You know, sometimes there's convenience with that gold. I like that. I like the convenience of it. I like that it is a more financially dense product. But there's another thing that bothers me about silver. I think the people who anticipate that silver is going to do so much better than gold, that might not be valid. And I don't have good reason. I can't give you good evidence for that, but I can tell you what rings my bell. You look at the Gold Eagle, silver, and it's $1. And you look at the Gold Eagle, you look at the Silver Eagle, excuse me, and it's $1 face value. And you look at the Gold Eagle, and it's $50 face value. Now, that's not today's dollars, and we all understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that somebody at the Mint must have had a pretty good idea, in my opinion, when they created, they said, we're going to have Gold Eagles and Silver Eagles, and the ratio will be 50 to 1. I think that ratio might stand up over time. And if it does, we may not get to where silver is 1/20th the price of gold, or less than 1/20th, 1/16th or whatever. We may not get to that. I may put more credence in the idea that we have $1 silver eagles and $50 gold eagles and is worthwhile. But I have a hunch that somebody had a pretty good idea that the ratio would be 50 to 1. And if that's true, there won't be that much money to be made in gold or in silver as compared to gold. There won't appreciate that much more dramatically. Does that make any sense to you, Paul?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does make sense. Silver is used for practically all over the production for other than just jewelry.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I know. There's no guarantee. Here's the guarantee.
Right.
I give you a guarantee. Your paper dollar will be worth less a year or two from now than it is right now. I will guarantee that. I don't know what's going to happen to the price of gold, but I know that your dollar is going to be worth less. So where do you want to put your wealth?
Of course, gold.
It's something that is either going to hold its value or go up, or something that's guaranteed to go down.
Right.
Thanks,
Alfred.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your call, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
And thank you for listening.
There's always that argument, you know, silver is going to go up more than gold. And I think people really need to stick to the fundamentals and what's suitable for you. Gold is your preservation of wealth. That is your savings account. Silver you use for a checking account. And I have many clients who have, you know, 100% in silver and they want to capitalize on the bigger percentage. It's going to have a bigger percentage because it's a lower value. And we can continue this discussion tomorrow, Al.
Well, we can continue it for weeks into the future, if not months and years. But we're out of time right now. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Thanks for listening. See you to mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.